Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and happy Halloween to all of you. Yes, it's the time of year, and tonight is the night, and you may well be starting wherever you might be listening in from, where those little critters are going to be coming to the door and going trick-or-treat, and just ready for as many treats as you have to hand out. I had to chuckle because the other day I was watching something on television. Perhaps you've seen the ad, but it's the image of this little boy. He seems to be about 9 or 10 years of age, and he's up on someone's porch, and they've got this huge container just filled with candy. And this candy is just, oh, it's so tempting. And he's standing there, and he's looking at the candy, and he's standing, of course, wearing his costume. And up comes a little girl, and she has to be about 4 or 5 years of age, and she reaches in and grabs a fistful of candy and puts it in her little pumpkin that she's carrying around to gather up all the goodies from all the neighbors. And the little boy says to her, "Didn't you see the sign? The sign says only one." And she said, "I can't read." And she reaches for one more piece of candy, and off she goes. And the little boy's in a quandary as he's standing there. It's the cutest commercial. But it's really the feel that I think that we have with this holiday. And, oh, I know so many of my neighbors are just absolutely just so excited about having all the kids come out this evening and having their own homes decorated. And I'm sure that many of you are doing the same thing, so I'm just delighted you're sharing a little bit of your time with me today. Donna Sebo here, and this is an hour of mind power. Today is going to be an open mic day, and I've got all kinds of little odds and ends to share with you regarding this wonderful holiday. But more than anything else, if you'd like to call in at any time during this hour to chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So here is the telephone number if you want to call in at any time during this hour. It is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, I do readings on the air for people. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. And then all you need to do is just relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you can ask me a question about anything you like. So again, give me a buzz anytime during the hour, 888-627-6008. Getting in the feel of the season, here is a poem by Dara Farrell. She has a beautiful photograph accompanying her poem, and it's all of these pumpkins. And, of course, they've all been carved out, and they each have their own particular face. And it's surrounded by the leaves of fall, and they're up on brick steps. They're arranged so attractively. And this is what she said. Skeletons and vampires with painted faces, spider webs popping up in the strangest places, pumpkins staring with ghoulish delight. It's Halloween night. Yes. All right. I wanted to share with you some thoughts by someone. Swati Chopra is the lady's name. And she's a writer that's based in New Delhi, India. And she is a woman that really has a very strong feeling about spirituality and making this world a better place. In fact, Swati has received a fellowship from the Foundation for Universal Responsibility of H.H. the Dalai Lama. And she has had articles that she's done through the years. But I thought this was a good thing to start the show off with today. This is what Swati Chopra said. She said, "Of the many hopes that light up my heart when I think of our collective future, I choose one, an end to the suffering of duality, of otherness. Those who have glimpsed its true nature describe reality as an uncompromising whole, an intermeshed network, a mass of connections. In our beings, we carry the spark that links us with everything else. Looking at a world that fragments anew each day and the boundaries between self and other, one hopes for a radical realization of connection, of shared humanity, of the oneness that embraces us all and is the ground upon which our common destiny unfolds. I think Swati has a very good point. It's very hard for us many times when we're going about in our busy lives to realize the tremendous connection that each of us have with each other. Even though we might be thousands and thousands of miles away from, you know, people we may never even meet in life, what we do does make a difference. I'm sure you've heard the story about the butterfly's wings and how when that butterfly flaps its wings, it has a tremendous effect on the world overall because it creates an effect. And I think in so many ways, it's very difficult to see how important that is. I think a good way to describe it is to keep in mind whenever you go into a store. Let's say it's one of the box stores, the big places, and just walk up and down the aisle. Believe it or not, I was doing this yesterday. And as I was walking up and down the aisles in this huge store, absolutely massive, I noticed products, everything for the garden to electronics, to clothing, to eye care, one-stop shopping, you might call it. But as I was observing what was around me, I realized it takes thousands of people, actually millions of people, to be able to bring each and every product that's in that store into reality. It is not something that just happens because somebody snaps their fingers. It all has to do with infrastructure. The economy of a country, of a community, boils down to infrastructure on multiple levels. Transportation, manufacturing, agriculture, communication, and so much more. But if you just walk around and ask yourself, pick up a couple of products. Some of them might come from Philadelphia, PA, or another might come from India, or another might come from China, or it might come from Vietnam or Australia, any place on the globe. But when you look at what it takes to bring something together, it's not just a person. It's multiple people. I had the occasion this past weekend to talk with a young man who is very much involved with computer technology. And he has ended up developing something that now is in the marketplace here on the West Coast. And they're kiosks of a type, all electronic, with games and other things. It's very interactive. And he has put this together. Well, someone first had to have the concept. Everything starts with an idea. Then you have to figure out where you're going to get all of what is needed to make this particular unit, which involves thousands of pieces. And then how do you bring it all together so that it works as a harmonic? So then you have something that is retail that's going to generate income that people are going to be attracted to. You have all of these various components. And he has pulled together some brilliant minds. And he said every day he gets up and he gets ready to go to work, he gets excited because part of what he loves to do is solve problems. He likes to be able to get involved in various aspects of activities, design, development. And he said it involves all kinds of people. And he's like a master, if you will, a puppeteer. He has to be able to move everything and create and integrate and communicate with all of these different people, different departments, different levels of responsibility to create something that is going to go out and bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars to the company that he is working with. And he just loves this. He says this is absolutely exciting to him. He gets excited every day when he goes into work. What else is he going to be able to work with? What else can he possibly create? What challenge is he going to face in the day? And when I was listening to this, and then I was around walking and looking at the stores, and I was thinking of everything that it takes for each and every one of us to be able to go to the grocery store, to be able to go to the gasoline station to pick up gasoline, a lot of things that we take for granted. We need to remember that there is this tremendous networking. Just like Swati Chopra has said, we all are connected with each other. Nothing just ever happens with one person. There's always a dependency, as much as we like to be self-sufficient or think that we are. Even if we're growing gardens out in our backyard or we're developing something, we still have to have something that's going to provide seeds. We have to be aware of how to do certain things and to have the equipment to do whatever we need to do. And that's a simplistic example. But I think if we take the time to realize how important who we are is and what we do and how much of a difference it makes, that our integrity, our sense of purpose, our values, they have a ripple effect. It's absolutely incredible. And I really think that her words are especially valuable because during a time of difficulty like so many people are experiencing today, economically and otherwise, it can be very frustrating. You think there are no options. Well, I don't know of any generation that hasn't had to go through its ups and downs. I guarantee you, every generation has those experiences. But they are different for the generation that is going to go through them. But it's just a suggestion. Don't hesitate to check in to find out how other generations dealt with the challenges that they had, because there may be inspiration there for you as well. Donna Sebo here. If you want to give me a buzz, it's an open mic day. This is Halloween, 888-627-6008. Well, because of Halloween, there's always the ghouls and the monsters, and sometimes people love to have a series of movies and that they can watch, and they have a bunch of people over, and it's like scare night. Between trick-or-treaters, you're watching all of this other stuff. It's a great time for a party. One of the characters I wanted to bring up information about is Frankenstein. Frankenstein is a monster of monsters, and so frequently Frankenstein is featured as a special character for someone to mimic. And I was looking at a recipe that had come out regarding Halloween things to have for foods and snacks, and there was this Frankenstein guacamole recipe, and I thought, oh my goodness, my, what we come up with, our imaginations are unlimited. But how do these stories start? Where do they begin? Halloween itself has some interesting history to it, which I'll share with you later on. But let's go back to Frankenstein. Mary Shelley is the woman who put this character together. Now, Mary Shelley was born, Mary Goodwin, in 1797, and she was born into a family of intellectuals. Now, who would ever imagine from this sweet, lovely young thing would come such a character such as Frankenstein? Well, there was someone who came into her life as she grew up, because in this household, all kinds of people came to visit. Her mom, Mary, and then her dad, William, encouraged visitors to come in. They liked discussing intellectual things. They loved to have artists over. So their home was one that had a lot of eclectic personalities come into it socially. Well, one of those personalities was Percy Shelley. Now, what ended up happening is that Mary Godwin fell in love with Percy Shelley. She eventually married him in 1816 after his first wife had died. And she said her life was sort of unconventional. And her life was quite interesting, if you really want to get down to it. Not only was she a writer, but she also had a unique situation because her husband had a mistress whose name was Jane Claremont, who later called herself Claire, that actually lived with him. And her husband had also a very strong friendship with Lord Byron. Now, Lord Byron, if ever you have a chance to study history, was a man of impeccable taste and style and was known for setting the standards for what you would call the, what do I want to say? I'll use the word style again, for men. He was just a very special man. Well, in 1816, this group, Lord Byron, Jane Clairmont, the mistress to her husband, Mary and also Percy, well, they went off on a trip. They decided to go off for a holiday in Switzerland. Now, there was another person that accompanied them. It was a physician. His name was Dr. Polidori. They stayed at a chalet that happened to be on the shores of Lake Geneva. Now, it was a very, very stormy night. And Lord Byron decided that he wanted to challenge all of those that he was traveling with to write a ghost story because of this wonderful storm that was going on. He said, we need to see what you come up with. Apparently, a few things were accomplished at that, you might say, rather unique environment with these unique people. Polidori is supposed to have written the very first vampire story in English. That's right. I didn't know that. Now, later on, it was attributed to Lord Byron, but it wasn't for him. However, it was Mary Shelley's story that everybody remembers, not Dr. Polidori's. She was so fascinated by the conversations that she and her husband and Lord Byron would have about galvanic electricity. Now, what was that? It was a form of electricity that was supposed to generate within and power the body. Now, Mary wrote down part of a first draft of Frankenstein, which she thought was going to be just a little short story. However, when she finished writing it, there were themes that she recognized that really intrigued her, and her mind became even more creative. So she, in 1817, developed this little short story she had written, and she developed it when she was staying in the countryside at Marlow in England and created the novel Frankenstein. And there were a lot of publications of her story, and every time her novel came out, every time it was published, there was something else that added to the myth. And the horror of Frankenstein just kept growing and growing and growing. She herself had had a subtitle about the book Frankenstein. She called him a modern Prometheus. So, if you don't know anything about Prometheus, he was one of the Titans. He was the son of Aptus and Themis. And he, along with his brother, Epimetheus, was involved with the creation of men and animals. And Prometheus, in Greek mythology, created men out of clay, and Epimetheus created animals. However, Prometheus wasn't too pleased with the creation that he came up with because he thought humans were pretty miserable. And they were so weak, and they had the habit of walking around on all fours. And he felt that his brother had used up all of the attributes in the creation of making his animals that the gods had given them to work with. So Prometheus decided he was going to give mankind something special. And this is what he did. He was able to steal a spark of divine fire from the table of Zeus and took it to Earth to give it to his creations. What did this do for mankind? Gave mankind heat and light and enabled mankind to walk upright, very much like the gods did. And supposedly that's when civilization began, as we have come to know it. Well, apparently the gods weren't too pleased because Zeus captured Prometheus, chained him to a rock where his liver and intestines were eaten by a vulture, and then his body was totally renewed. So he lived in perpetual pain. And Mary Shelley, used this classical Greek myth to make her character of Frankenstein. because she wanted to convey in her message that a broken creator was overwhelmed by this thing, a situation that he had created. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. And at the time she wrote the story about Frankenstein, a lot of things were changing. People were becoming more educated. A lot of superstitions that had been perpetuated through the centuries because people didn't have education, then they were beginning to disappear. And when Mary Shelley was writing this, so much in thinking had altered. Science was beginning to come in the forefront in a big way, and so much more. But regardless, she created a creature of mind that ended up becoming so much more. And my goodness, how many movies have been made about Frankenstein? A lot of them, a whole bunch of them. And they're still going strong. And the latest thing I saw was a guacamole dip. Hey, can you go wrong with that? I don't know. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone number to call in because this is an open mic day today. It's Halloween. I hope you're going to have an absolutely fabulous time. 888-627-6008. Now, I want to share with you something about a wonderful, wonderful recipe. And I wanted to also tell you about something that I happened to see for some goodies that could be made. If you wanted to do something for kids and you were trying to figure out what you could do that would be really, really quick to make a cute little goodies to put on a plate for a bunch of kids, if you're having anything at your home, and maybe it's too late to even discuss this now. But this was made with apricots. Apricots, black licorice, and chocolate chips. Yes, and this, they're spiders. They're absolutely incredible. And what you do, you take a dried apricot, and you know those bamboo skewers that you use for barbecuing during the summer? Well, you take one of those, and you poke three holes, sort of mush together the apricot so it forms like a thick, like about the thickness of your thumb. You just sort of roll it, and then you poke three holes through it, and you take your string licorice, cut it maybe in an inch or 2-inch sections, depending on how long you want the legs for the spider, but you poke three holes through that apricot body, and then you string through your black licorice, and then for spider eyes, you take maybe a little bit of melted chocolate and chocolate chips, and you just put a little melted chocolate on the bottom, on the flat part of the chocolate chip, and put it wherever you want the eyes for the spider. They are absolutely adorable. I watched someone doing it today, and I thought, well, how clever that is. And the kids just love it. Looks just like a spider, but it tastes wonderful. You can make it so quickly. It's really, really easy. So I thought I would share that with you as well. I also wanted to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up this week, and our list is going to be posted by this evening. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Peter Spinogatti, explaining unhappiness. And Peter's got some wonderful thoughts about being able to look at life with an attitude about being able to weather various challenges and more. And then we're going to be talking with Cal Ori. Now, Cal has been on my show before. This woman's a marvelous researcher. We're going to be talking on Wednesday about the healing power of honey. Honey is an amazing product put together by little critters that aren't even supposed to be able to fly, those little wonderful bees, little honeybees. Well, Cal has got information not just on honeybees, but on a lot more. So we'll be talking about that on Wednesday. Then a woman of heart, Marcy Ellen Craig. This is a story that has some wonderful, wonderful messages in it. It is a fictitious story, but it has a lot in the body of theme and information. So we'll be talking about that. And then Touching the Light, Dr. Meg Blackburn Lacey is going to be my guest. We are going to find out how we can ignite our own capabilities physiologically for healing and also mentally become aware. So we've got a great lineup of people this week. I hope you'll tell your friends and just share with them the fact that we have got great guests on the Donna Sebo Show. They come from around the world, And it's always a delight to be able to bring them to you so that you can have perhaps an insight in what to do for yourself about certain things in your life, and maybe, well, deal with some issues with a different perspective that allows you to be empowered so that you know that as an individual, what you do for yourself does make a difference. A little bit of trivia on this Halloween day. Remember, I was talking about spiders, and I came across something that when I saw the photo, I said, oh, this looks like a bunch of dried grass. It was far from being dried grass. I have in front of me this photograph of what looks like little balls of dirt. Bottom section is a light brown. Upper section is like a dark chocolate brown. And here are all of these long, wheat-like things sticking up. Well, I found out that it wasn't wheat. And not only that, but these creatures have a name. They are called harvest men. Now, this photograph that I have in front of me, they describe it as a creepy, crawly carpet. And that's exactly what this is. It's alive and it moves. This occurs in Germany. I never even knew that these creatures existed. Now, they look something like spiders, but the harvest men are actually another type of arachnid. They only recently discovered them. That is hard to believe. But I guess they come out at certain times. There are different types of these harvest men, and they're often massing together in groups of tens of thousands. And when they move, it resembles a single large organism. And it's a living, seething carpet of legs and these circular torsos. Now, the legs, envision this. If you're not real fond of spiders, imagine this arachnid, each of its legs is 6 inches long. Mm-hmm. And they say they think it's a deterrent to predators. No kidding. You have tens of thousands of them getting together. But they also do something that is very unusual. If they are threatened by a predator, and it's beyond me what would want to eat them, but regardless, apparently they have predators, they create an unpleasant odor whenever they're threatened. So somehow or another, they learn something from a skunk somewhere saying, we're not going to taste good. You think this smells bad? We even taste worse. But I can tell you, this is one of the most incredible photographs I have ever seen. And they get on top of each other as well. But arachnids, 6-inch long legs. Yeah, I think I could skip that very nicely. Anyway, couldn't pass that one up. After all, this is a creepy, crappy, creepy, crawly holiday, yes, which everybody has such a good time with. I have seen things decorated around my neighborhood that are just amazing. And speaking of spiders, as I was just doing, I had passed one house, and this woman, she's just a doll. She's an elderly lady. She has to be in her 80s. And she has her front porch decorated with all kinds of ghostly web kind of stuff. But she's got a sign that says an old bat lives here. And that's right before you get to her front step. You see that? But somewhere she found a spider that doesn't have 6-inch legs. It has 3-foot legs, and it has this huge body, and she's got this there, and then she's got spiders just all over the place on the inside of her entryway. And I thought, oh, the kids are just going to have a great time. She's even got sound effects. She absolutely loves to decorate for the holidays. And every year she seems to come up with something that's even more dramatic. So she's just a doll. This is Donna Sebo. We have an open mic day today, 888-627-6008. And have a pad of paper and a pen handy. I've got a wonderful recipe for grilled ribeye with molasses mustard glaze. So I'll share that with you when you come back. Donna Sebo here, taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Give me a call if you'd like to chat.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. This is an open mic day on Halloween. Yes, and if you want to call in and chat with me, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, I do want to remind those of you that are in the state of Washington, my Quantum Mind Workshop is coming up on November the 12th. Now, this is really an awesome workshop. Saturday, November the 12th, I and Robert Newman, who is a feng shui expert, we're going to be putting together a program. He's going to have half of the program dealing with feng shui. I'm going to be doing the second half dealing with quantum mind. And this is really going to be absolutely marvelous because Robert has years of experience in helping people create a harmonic environment in their lives in a way that's productive as they would desire to be. And I love to help people develop their own intuitive skills, and we'll be interacting with all of you that choose to attend. And it's 4 hours, probably going to be a little bit longer than that, but about 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. We're going to be starting at 10. The doors are going to be open at 9:15. The location is 5250 Bridgeport Way West in University Place. Now, if you prepay, if you sign up and prepay, it's $39.95 or $45 at the door, and we take cash check or credit card. And by the way, we're going to have refreshments. This is a beautiful environment, and it is just something we are so looking forward to doing. So give me a call. If you would like to pre-register for this class, you can get information off of my website, but give me a call at 253-582-5604. This is going to be a marvelous, marvelous class, and we're limiting it to 25 people, and I just would hope that you give us a call so that you can be a participant and find out how you can empower yourself in your life. That's Quantum Mind Workshop, November the 12th and Saturday. Yes, there we go. Okay, I wanted to share something with you. First, there's this wonderful recipe for grilled ribeye with molasses mustard glaze. Now, this is a recipe of Bobby Flay's. This guy is such a hoot. I like to watch him every once in a while. I love cooking shows. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy them because there's so many little tips and techniques, even though I've enjoyed cooking for so many years. And my husband will say, "What are you watching a cooking show? Haven't you learned how to cook yet?" And I said, "Of course I have. But there's lots of things I don't know." And it's just something fascinating to me when I watch these people that are in a professional venue that they have all of these different concepts and ideas. And Bobby often will have challenges with people. He'll go into their restaurant and challenge them for their world-famous recipe and see if he can better it. Well, this is something that I think absolutely is wonderful. If you like beef and if you love ribeye, it's one of my husband's favorite pieces of meat. Well, this has got sort of a sweet and spicy horseradish glaze. And this is what you're going to need. It's real, real easy. It's a half a cup of molasses, 2 heaping tablespoons of Dijon mustard, 2 heaping tablespoons of prepared horseradish. And if it's a watery horseradish, you want to drain it because you want to have the water out of it. So just let it sit and drain for a few minutes. You need 1 teaspoon of ancho chili powder, a little bit of kosher salt, and some freshly ground pepper, and then you're going to need 2 1.5-inch thick bone-in ribeye steaks and a little bit of your favorite oil. If it's canola oil, if it's vegetable oil, maybe even a little bit of butter, whatever you like. Personally, I like butter. But regardless, what you do, you take your molasses, the mustard, the horseradish, and the ancho powder, put it all in a bowl, add 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. Now, you let this mixture, you mix it up, you let it sit at room temperature for at least 30 minutes. Why? The flavors are going to marry, and they're just going to get better, actually, the longer they sit. So you just, for at least 30 minutes, and then you can use a grill or a broiler, or if you want, a cast iron grill pan. Now, you're going to need some pretty high heat for this. And you want, if you're going to have a cast iron grill on your stove, you want it on high heat until it starts to smoke. Don't put your butter, your oil on it at that time. You just want it so it gets real good and hot. And what you want to do then, you put the oil or your butter on your steaks. That's what you're going to do. You're going to brush the steaks with your oil, season it with your salt and pepper, put them on the grill or on that griddle pan, and then you cook it on that high heat until it's slightly charred, just very, very slightly charred. It takes about 4 or 5 minutes. And then you turn it over, do the same thing, and you want to brush the tops of the meat with some of the glaze. Now, then you're going to quickly turn your heat down, turn it down to medium, and you can continue to grill until the bottoms are slightly charred. The center of the steak is probably going to be like medium rare. So if you like yours really rare, well, cook it a little bit less. I know some people are just like it slid across the grill and they said, "That's all I want." And I just go, "Eh. That's not for me. I'm not one of those that likes to see any blood running out of the center." So a medium is just fine with me. So you will then put it on a cutting board. Now, whatever you do, do not cut into the meat. You need to brush it with glaze, and you let it set for at least 5 minutes. Why? If you cut it right after you've taken it off the grill, all of those juices are just going to ooze right out of your meat, and the meat is going to taste somewhat dry. When you let the meat rest, all of that delicious moisture and flavor is kept in the meat. And then when you slice it, oh my goodness, it's just absolutely wonderful. And of course, hot, crisp Italian bread. I prefer that over French bread. Or fix maybe some garlic parmesan bread, have some other things going on, and a salad, whatever is your pleasure. But this is such an easy recipe, deliciously flavorful, a little sweet, a little spicy, and just a perfect way to have a meal that's nutritious and also tasting absolutely delicious. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, that's 888-627-6008. Well, of course, because this is Halloween and we have to have spooky stories. Yes, we do. How about a headless valley? Yes, indeedy. Well, we're going to be traveling to 1915 in our little time machine of the mind. On September 28th of 1915, there was a burned-down cabin and the headless remains of a Swedish prospector, Martin Jorgensen. Where was he discovered? Well, his claim and cabin were near the Nahanni River in the Northwest Territories of Canada. Now, Nahanni Country, it apparently is the home of a legendary hidden tropical valley where phenomenal gold deposits are guarded by superstition and elusive savage mountain men. Now, Martin Jorgensen, he was searching for the placer gold that had been reported earlier by some brothers. Their names were McLeod. Well, Martin sent a message to his partner via a trapper that he had happened to meet that he had found the gold. Well, when they found Martin, if he found the gold, he didn't get a chance to keep it because not only did they not find gold, but his head was no longer attached to his body. Now, 7 years before they found his remains, the headless bodies of the McLeod brothers were discovered in South Nahanni. And they left behind a sled runner with the words, "We have found a fine prospect." It was written across the sled runner, those words, and on the sled were large chunks of quartz rippled with gold. Now, the story apparently started in 1903 when a Cassiar Indian visited the Hudson Bay Company trading post, and he had gold nuggets in his possession that were as big as your fist. Can you imagine that? As big as your fist? Now, he got pretty drunk. And in that condition, he ended up revealing the placer location. So Murdoch McLeod and Hudson Bay agent at Fort Liard relayed the story to his three sons, Willie, Frank, and Charlie McLeod. Well, guess what? You got it. They got gold fever. They got it bad. And they said, "We are going to go to where we have, where we know we're going to find gold and we'll be rich, 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 rich." Well, the brothers together went through the wilderness, and it wasn't an easy trek. It was very grueling. They went all the way to a tributary of the Flat River. Now, they ended up getting a little bit lucky. There was a lot of bad times that they endured in this travel. Their barge and supplies were lost at the Cascade of 13 Drops. But the boys eventually returned home. Now, Willie and Frank set out with a Scottish engineer the following year. After they had been absent for 4 years, Brother Charlie went to look for him. Now, remember, we're talking about a time when it took, they didn't have cell phones. It took them a while to get messages to and from. Well, he found them. During midsummer of 1915, Well, actually, it was before then. That's when they found Martin Jorgensen. It was 7 years before that that they found the brothers. Found their bodies picked clean by animals and headless. And since the early 1900s, over 20 men have either vanished or been found as a headless skeleton. And no one knows where the placer gold is today. It's a closely guarded secret, apparently. Those mountain men are still out there. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for just a moment. When we come back, if you'd like to chat with me on this Halloween day or evening, wherever you might be, I hope you're going to have an absolutely fabulous time. 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, wherever you are. I hope you're having an absolutely magnificent day. Telephone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. Now, I do want to share something with you that I think is significant, and it has to do with medical identity theft. I was in conversation with a group of people just recently regarding various situations in hospitals, how people got billed incorrectly, and the conversation went on and on and on about what is wrong with the healthcare system. Well, I'm not going to try to do any repair work regarding that, but I thought I would share this information with you because so many times maybe we're not ill, but a member of our family is. And that happened to me recently, where a member of my family had to be rushed to the ER. This went on twice. And then we started getting bills, and I was appalled to find out that every single individual that had interacted with this family member had their own billing system. It was incredible, and it was all under this umbrella of this major hospital system. I really got an education in a very short period of time. And that's what happens when personally something affects you. Well, medical identity theft is not a joke. Apparently, 1.5 million people are going to be victims of medical identity theft, or even more than that. That's what they're guesstimating for the year, you know, for this year. But it's, you know, every time you turn around, something's going on. How does this happen? When someone steals your information to get free medical care, or a doctor uses it to bill health insurers for treatments never provided. Now, both of these scenarios are very real. They're very real. Not only could you be billed in error, but your medical records could contain information about someone else's health, such as allergies or medication. This is not a joke. I talked to someone, and again, this was just very, very recently. A woman said she was in the hospital, and a nurse comes in and says, okay, now it's time for you to have these certain medical eye drops. She said, no, I don't have anything wrong with my eyes. The nurse stood there and argued with her, was getting so angry And she said, you're not putting anything in my eyes. There's nothing wrong with my eyes. Well, the nurse got furious. She goes back. She finds out that the wrong information was put down for this lady. And this lady, Maxine, was just furious. She said, my goodness, I'm so glad I was conscious. What if I had not been conscious? What if there was not a health advocate person that had been watching over me? I mean, what if? She said, thank goodness I questioned and I refused to take something. Okay, so here are some steps that you can take to keep from being scammed, or if you have a loved one that you're taking care of, these are some tips that are very important. You want to be sure that you have an explanation of benefits, the statement your health plan sends you after every doctor's visit. Now, medical identity thieves apparently count on the fact that most of us will toss this information aside because it's not a bill. It's just coming from the insurance company. However, it can contain clues that someone else is using your medical identity, such as doctors' names you don't recognize and dates of services and treatments you never had. If you find anything out of order on your bill, you need to contact your insurance company immediately. Also, shred any medical information before throwing it in the trash. Now, this goes for anything that has your name, insurance policy number, other information that someone might pick out of your trash and use it to commit medical identity fraud. Now, this can happen with other things as well. So just be aware. Anything that has to do with health insurance forms, prescriptions, and even labels on prescription bottles. You know, prescription drugs are one of the biggest causes of narcotic abuse. That's right, prescription drugs. So if someone has access to your information, then you would think, you know, most of us would just throw the prescription bottles in the trash. Who cares? Take the labels off. And this is even for the loved ones that you take care of. Also, you want to make sure, again, everything's shredded, but report stolen or lost insurance cards. If your wallet, for some reason, disappears, you're always going to call your bank and your credit card companies first. But you need to also let your health insurance company know, because if you have a health card in there that's just as important, you'll get a new account number, and it'll prevent someone from using yours. Don't we live in a strange world anymore? We have so many wonderful benefits with technology, and yet we have to become guardians of what we are dealing with every day. We have reams and reams of paper that our names and private information, social security numbers are on, and we need to remember anything we have there, you need to shred. But the health issues are so very, very critical. You really need to pay attention to that. And I'll tell you, it's an eye-opener when you start seeing medical bills coming in and you look at the costs of various services. It really wakes you up. It makes you aware it's important for you to take care of yourself. That's right. You want to really, really make that investment in yourself. You want to be aware of what's going to work for your body. Take care of yourself. This is a chassis that you're in for this life experience. Take good care of it so it will operate well. I think Jack LaLanne is one of my inspirations. And, of course, he was a guest on my show a few times. And I always got such a kick out of him because he had such vitality. And when he passed away at the age of 96, it wasn't because he hadn't taken care of himself. It's just because some of the physical equipment just didn't pass muster. And parts do wear out with the body. But that man was such an inspiration, and he had such vitality and such enthusiasm for life up until the day that he left this experience. So we need to remember people like that. I don't know that you have to be as extreme as he was in certain food choices, but I think the attitude about the quality of life that he felt you should be able to enjoy when you take care of yourself physically was worth every bit of whatever you might see as a sacrifice. Well, I know we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking about unhappiness. and how you don't have to make it a major portion of your life. So I hope you will join us. Tell your friends. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.